Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 27. Matthew, chapter 27. We'll read verses 51 through 56 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Matthew, chapter 27, verses 51 through 56. We're going to start at verse 50 through verses 56. Matthew 27, verses 50 through 56. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake, and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, Truly this was the Son of God. And many women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him. And let's finish on verse 56 together. Ready? Among which was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James, and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's children. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you do for us here. Lord, this morning, a cold, wet, nasty kind of morning, and a lot of churches didn't even have church, but you met with us here. Lord, you're meeting with us again tonight. Your presence is obvious. Father, please fill our preacher with your power as we focus on Jesus and what he's done for us, what he has made available for us. Please fill our preacher with your power, us with your power as we listen to. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
I told you this morning the title of tonight's sermon. I have simply entitled it, The Veil Was Rent in Twain. Let me read to you a couple of verses again. I'll point something out to you and we'll get started. Matthew chapter 27, verse 50 and 51 says, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. Now, this idea of the veil being rent in twain must be a pretty big deal. It tells us here, whatever this veil is, it was rent in twain from the top all the way to the bottom. In other words, it was a done deal. Whatever happened, it was extreme. It actually goes as far here to say that when the veil was rent in twain, and I'm going to explain all this to you in a moment, the Bible says the earth did quake. Now, whatever happened here in the veil being rent in twain, it was so big, it caused an earthquake. And that not a catastrophic event in regard to the earth, but it was virtually the earth excited and responding to the importance of this occurrence. Then it says that the rocks rent. In other words, this was such a big event, there were rocks that were doing the same thing. They were rent. In other words, they were tore. Solid chunks of rock just tore in half. And again, not a catastrophic event like a big earthquake where a bunch of people die. It is talking about the earth is excited about what happens when this thing called the veil is rent in twain. The earth actually responds. The earth is excited. The earth says, wow, do you realize what just happened? Now, let me go on. You say, why, Brother Owens? This was a long-awaited event. This was an event that all the way back to the time that there was a lamb or an animal that died to clothe Adam and Eve after they had fallen into sin. From that day to this, we had been looking forward to the day that the veil would be rent in twain. Now, let me see if I can make it. I'll try to make it as simple as I can. And I want you to understand what it means when it says the veil was rent in twain. And I might preface the sermon by saying this. My introduction is three quarters of the sermon. And once we get past the introduction, the rest is going to go real, real quick. But there's a lot of history, maybe as we would call it, a lot of facts to go along with what I'll say tonight. After God had delivered the children of Israel from Egypt By means of the shed blood of a lamb, they journeyed to the southern tip of Sinai. On Mount Sinai, God gives Moses the law of God, and he gives him some instructions concerning a thing called the tabernacle. Now, don't let that word tabernacle goof you up. There was an Old Testament temple. That was a place for God to meet with the people. There was, while the people were traveling and they did not have a temple, a solid building, God wanted them to have a place to meet with him. So he had a thing called the tabernacle. The purpose of this tabernacle was to allow God to dwell among the people and to be close to the people. They needed a meeting place, if you will. Let me read to you a passage of Scripture. The Bible says in Exodus 25, verse 8 and 9, it says, "And let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them, according to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle, and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall you make it." Now, so the children of Israel were in captivity. When they broke out of that captivity, they began to travel, and God said, "Now that you're traveling, you're journeying, you need a place where I can dwell and where I could meet with you." He said, "So we're going to build a thing called a tabernacle." And so it was later on, there was a temple that was built. It was a solid, foundation place, but the tabernacle was not like that. Now, the tabernacle, it had three compartments, if you will. Let me explain them to you. There was an outer courtyard, and then there was inside that courtyard I'll use the term building, that's not the right word. There was another compartment, it was called the holy place. Then there was another compartment called the Holy of Holies. Three parts. An outer courtyard. Inside that, the holy place. Inside that, a place called the Holy of Holies. There are different names that are used for this tabernacle. In Exodus 39:32, they call it a tent. Again, I'll explain that to you in a moment. In Exodus 25:8, they called it the sanctuary. In Leviticus 1:1, they called it the tabernacle. But if you're reading the Old Testament and you see the word tent, sanctuary, or tabernacle, it is talking about this tabernacle that we're discussing this evening. Now, let me describe its size to you. The tabernacle was about 150 foot long, and it was 75 feet wide. Well, I don't know how large the big parking lots are out here that our church uses, but it would have been somewhere near it, about 150 feet long, 75 feet wide. Now, the outer courtyard, it may be simply described as a fenced area, and the fence was made out of tent-type material. So if you took one of these big parking lots out here, and you put some posts in the ground, and then not a wooden fence, not a steel or a plastic fence, a fence. Now, we're going to put a fence all the way around it, and we're going to use tent-type material. So if you can picture one of those big parking lots, and they've got a big high fence, like a privacy fence, all the way around it, but that fence is made of tent material. Now, it was a tent because it needed to be movable. They were not building a permanent building. It was a tabernacle or a tent because when they would journey from place to place, they would take it apart and take it with them. They took it down when they traveled. They set it up at their new destination. That's why the tent type material. That's why they would move from place to place, and God wanted a place to dwell among them every place that they went. Hey, that ought to remind you of something. Everywhere you go, God wants to go with you. Everywhere you go. Now we picture, we've got this, what we'll call the courtyard. And that's this great big fenced in area. You entered the courtyard from only one end. You didn't enter it from the sides. You didn't enter it from the back. There was one entryway into that big privacy fence, that courtyard area. Now, I'm not going to go into it, but someday we'll do a study. But everything about the tabernacle pointed toward Jesus Christ. Everything pointed toward Jesus. Everything kind of symbolized Jesus and what he would do for us and that for which he stood. Now we have this courtyard. It's a big fenced area about the size of one of our parking lots. Now, there's another compartment inside that courtyard. It is called the Holy Place. Now, this was another tented area, but it did have a roof over it. But that roof, again, was made of this tent-type material. Nowhere near the size of our mausoleum out here, but it would have been long and slender, and it would have set down inside this courtyard. So now you've got a courtyard, it's fenced. Inside it, you've got a square tented area on the back end of it, and it has a roof over it. And then there is a third compartment in the tabernacle. The third compartment is inside the second compartment. Remember, we've got the courtyard. It's fenced in. Inside it, we have the holy place. Inside the holy place, we have a third little area. That is called the Holy of Holies. And in regard to importance, the Holy of Holies was the most important place. Then the next compartment out, it's called the Holy Place. That's second most important. And then the courtyard is third most important. So now you've got three compartments. The big outer part, the tent on the inside. Inside that tent, the place called the Holy of Holies. Now, the Holy of Holies was actually located in the back one-third of this place called the Holy Place. That's that square tent. The back one-third of it was called the Holy of Holies. There was a piece of material that separated the back one-third. Actually, if you can picture a square tent inside this courtyard fence, inside that square tent, the back one-third of it, there was a curtain that hung. That curtain separated what we call the holy place and that very, very special compartment called the Holy of Holies. Let me read you something about it. Exodus chapter 26, verse 31, 32, and 33. And don't let all the words confuse you. It says here, "And thou shalt make a veil." Now, there's the veil that we're talking about. The subject of the night is that veil. And the Bible says, "And thou shalt make a veil of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twined linen of cunning work." Now, here God tells them they are to make this veil. It is virtually a curtain. And there is a very heavy curtain that separates that holy place. The back one-third of it is set aside for something extremely, extremely special. That curtain is made of blue, purple, scarlet. It is made of a very fine linen, and it said that it was of cunning work. It was a masterpiece. It was very, very beautiful. So let me remind you, you've got this big courtyard. Inside the courtyard, there was a square tent called the Holy Place. Then about one-third into that tent called the Holy Place, a curtain hung. It was called the veil. And behind that curtain, that one last little one-third was called the Holy of Holies. Now, we're going to enter that courtyard for a moment. Remember, you could only go in through one end. On the opposite end, you have this tent called the Holy Place and the Holy of Holies. But we're going to go in this one end, the only entryway. And when you go into that courtyard, there's some things in there that you would see. There's a brazen altar. Now, let me simplify that. Sometimes you hear the word brazen and you say, well, what's that all about? Well, there's just an altar there. There was an altar there. What's an altar for? The giving of sacrifices. That's what the altar was for. There is also what they called a laver there. And to simplify it, it's virtually like a sink without any plumbing, a bowl, if you will. What was it for? Well, just like an altar was there for sacrifice, that's what the altar's for, that little laver or that little bowl with water in it, it was there for the priest to wash his hands and to wash his feet. Now, so, and that was the what we might call the furniture that was in that courtyard. So when you walked in the entryway of this place called the tabernacle, you would see off to one side, there was an altar where the priest could give a sacrifice. You would see on the other side, as you're walking through, you would see the thing called the laver. It was a bowl where water would be kept, where he could wash his hands. Now, We're going to leave that little interior courtyard. We're going to step into this tent that's built in the back. Remember, it's got a roof over it. It's in the on the back side of this thing. It's that thing called the holy place. Now, there are some important items once you go into the holy place. There was a table, and it was called the table of showbread. It was virtually a table that showed bread. Sometimes we get a little confused. You see those words and you're thinking, what in the world is that? Now, this bread at this table, it pictured the Word of God. You see, the Bible talks, it compares the Word of God to bread. It also taught about God's provision to us. God meets our needs, and our needs are met very, very well through the Word of God. Okay, so you've got a table called the table of showbread, and that bread pictures God's provision in our life. Then there is an altar of incense in this little tented area. Now, again, don't let it confuse you. When it talks about an altar of incense, it is basically a place where they burnt incense. You just picture a little spot there where they could burn some incense. Now, what's that? That incense pictures our prayers going up to God. The Bible talks about our prayers being a sweet smelling savor. That incense burning pictured you and I, or any Christian, praying to God. Now, so things in this tabernacle, as you look at them, as you read your Bible, they can bleed together a little bit, and they can become very complicated. Truth is, it's not a complicated thing. There was a fence that was 150 foot long. It was 75 foot wide. You could only come in through one direction. When you walked in, there was a table. There was an altar where they could sacrifice. There was a little bowl where they could wash their hands. You went into the next compartment called the holy place, and there was a little table that had some showbread on it to picture God's provision. There was a little place where they could burn incense that pictured our prayers going up to God. And then there was a lampstand or a candle stand there. What for? Well, first of all, you need to be able to see while you're in that tent. Yeah, it's always good to have light wherever you're going. But not only that, not only did it make it so they could see inside the holy place, but it pictured the Holy Spirit placing light on the bread that is the Word of God. Isn't it a wonderful thing that you and I have the bread, the provision of the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit can shine a light on it so you and I can figure it out? So you have this showbread, you have this incense, and again, you've got the incense there, and you've got the Holy Spirit, or that candle, or that lampstand. It's a good thing. We have the Holy Spirit to lead us as to what we're to pray about. So in the thing called the holy place, you've got the table with the showbread, you've got a candle or a lampstand so you can see, then you also have the incense that burned. All right, now, inside this place called the holy place, this little tented area, there is a curtain at the back of it. That curtain is the veil that we're talking about. That thing that was made of purple and scarlet and linen. It would hang there. It was very important. It was very important because when you would go past that curtain, which nobody could do except for the priest, when you would go past that little curtain, there was some, we'll call, furniture in there. There's a thing called the mercy seat. This thing called the mercy seat sat on top of a box. That box was called the Ark of the Covenant. Okay? Now, this one little one-third of the holy place, behind that curtain, that was the dwelling place of God. So you had the outer courtyard. Then you went from the courtyard into this square tented area. Then all the way at the back of this square tented area was this curtain that hung. Right behind the curtain was this place called the Holy of Holies. That's where God dwelt. That was the place where God was. The mercy seat, I'll make it as simple as I know how. The mercy seat was basically considered God's throne on earth in Old Testament times. That was the place where God was. Now, only the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies. You take, for instance, If you were an ornery rascal and one day you thought, I'm going to sneak in there. If you snuck into the tabernacle and you went from the courtyard into the holy place and you darted right back and you lifted up that curtain and you darted in there where God was, you'd die. Just like that. You'd be gone. You'd die. Nobody could go in there, not even by accident. Nobody could go into the presence of God except the high priest. And he only went in once a year. It was on the Day of Atonement. He had to enter under that veil. I want to take a second and remind you of something. When man sinned, he separated himself from God. But before sin, God and man, they had a perfect thing going. Man sinned and man turned his back on God. Now, God's goal from that point on was to figure out how man and God could get back together. So God said there has to be a sacrifice, and it's got to be a perfect sacrifice to pay for man's sins. So the day that Adam and Eve sinned and God said, you're naked, and that nakedness has to be covered up. They went out and slew an animal. That blood that was shed to get the coat of that animal to cover their nakedness, that animal's blood pictured the one day coming Messiah, Jesus Christ, that would come and take their sins away. Every Old Testament sacrifice, from that all the way till Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, it wasn't all about bulls and goats. It was all about Jesus shedding his blood someday to make it so God and man could get back together, because man fell in the Garden of Eden. He separated himself from God. As a result of it, God wanted man back, and God said, I'm going to get man back someday. Between now and when Jesus comes, we're going to have some blood sacrifices that picture the blood of Jesus being shed. So once a year, the Old Testament priest would go in the courtyard. He would go in the holy place. And finally, after a process, he would go into that back one third, the Holy of Holies, because it was the Day of Atonement. And he was only allowed to go in once a year. Let me go on. To go into that Holy of Holies once a year, He had to be right with God. Boy, he had to be right with God. See, they actually, his garment, the priest's garment, they sewed bells on it. Had a little bells, just like, you know, the old schoolhouse bell that the teacher would ring. They would sew a bell to his garment. You see, when he entered under that veil to go back into that back one third called the Holy of Holies, the place where God was, if he entered that and he had known sins in his life, he could die just like that. Let me read a passage of scripture to you. It says in Leviticus chapter 16, verse number 2, it says, and the Lord said unto Moses, speak unto Aaron, thy brother, that he come not at all times into the holy place, within the veil before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he die not. For I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. God said, that's where I live. If the priest comes in there and he's not right with God, he will die. So God said, what we're going to do is we're going to give him a garment to wear, and we're going to put bells on his garment. You say, why? Because when he was in there moving around, he was alive. You could hear the bell ringing. So everybody was listening for the bell to ring when he went past the veil into that last little compartment where God dwelt. When the bell was ringing, the people knew the priest was still moving. He was alive and he was going to be able to picture the coming Messiah, Jesus Christ, by giving a blood sacrifice in that little room. They also tied a rope around one of his ankles. So this priest, when he put on his garment before he went into that last little compartment, he had bells on his clothes. He had a rope tied to his ankle. You say, what's a rope for? Well, if he went beyond the veil and the bell stopped ringing, which meant God was disappointed in the priest. The priest had gone in and he was not right with God. God would kill him. The only thing was, nobody was allowed to go past that veil. Anybody that had any sense wouldn't want to go past that veil. They couldn't go past the veil, so if the bell stopped ringing, they would know to drag him out. He had that rope tied to his ankle. The people on the outside could grab the rope and pull out the dead priest. because he could not go in unless he were right with God. So as long as the bell was ringing, everything was okay. If he died, they could not just crawl in and get him. They would pull him out. Now, the priest went into this place called the Holy of Holies to represent the people to God. That priest represents Jesus Christ, our high priest, the only one that could get us and God back together. That's what he pictured. Now, let me explain briefly the priest's journey. Now, it's the Day of Atonement. It's that one day a year where he's to go in and he's to do his duty. Here's what happens. Remember, he's going in to represent all the people. He's going in to go to God and picture the blood of Jesus Christ, an atonement, the at-one-ment, if you remember. He is going to do something for all the people. Okay, so he goes into that courtyard. There's the altar there where he can sacrifice and will use a lamb. He would sacrifice a lamb. There's that little place where he could wash his hands and his feet. So, you know, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You picture the sacrifice of an animal and the blood, and then the washing of the hands and the washing of the feet. And so he's in the courtyard. A sacrifice is made. He washes his hands. He washes his feet so he can go into that next little tented area called the holy place. When he gets in there, there is the candlestick so he can see. It sheds light on everything in there. He can look over. He sees the table with the showbread. He looks over there and realizes that God is our great provider, and everything he's doing is based on the word of God. He smells that the incense will begin to burn. And he spends time with God, communing with God, and praying and saying, "Oh God, we're a sinful people. And oh God, we need you. We need the word of God for our guidance. We need the light of the candle to lead us in life. We want God to pray, and we want to communicate with you." After all that's done, he's got the rope on. He's got his garment on with the bells. It's time for him to climb up underneath that curtain called the veil. He goes in there. He takes the blood from that sacrifice. He sprinkles it on that place called the mercy seat. That the mercy seat again sets on top of a box called the Ark of the Covenant. Now, when he went through there, that pictured Jesus Christ having a passageway to God. Jesus Christ could get to God. The altar of incense, don't forget, he had prayed. The word of God was pictured. The Holy Spirit was pictured. And now he's going to go in. He's going to take the blood that was shed out there on that altar. He's going to sprinkle it on that mercy seat, signifying the sins of the people could be covered by the blood of a lamb. That's what that pictured. We sing the song, "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus." This whole thing was a picture of the blood of Jesus Christ being shed so man and God could get back together, all the way back to the time when Adam and Eve sinned and there was a separation between God and man. Now we go many, many years later. We're at the time of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. They crucify him. They nailed him to the cross. They beat him. They plucked his beard. They placed a crown of thorns upon his head. Jesus is hanging on the cross. And as we read earlier, it said to us in Matthew 27, verse 50 and 51, Jesus, when he cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Here he goes. Jesus is on the cross and he just died. And the Bible says, "And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth quaked and the rocks rent." What happened? They had been waiting all the way back from the time of the fall of man, Adam and Eve, for the day to come when Jesus would make it so God and man could be together. That's what they were waiting for. That's what they were looking forward to. And it talks about, it says that the veil was rent in twain. Now some of the Old Testament words, rent means tore. It was tore. In twain means two. It just ripped right down the middle. God ripped it. God ripped it. Matthew 27, 50 and 51, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain. Now, the curtain was ripped in two. God had been waiting to remove that separation. Man had been waiting to remove that separation. Now, that's the introduction. That means we're almost home. We're three quarters of the way through. That shows you the Old Testament tabernacle and the veil. It shows you the New Testament of Jesus Christ dying on the cross. In the moment He died, it says that veil was rent in twain. Now, let me make four or five very quick applications and we're done. Number one, the veil being rent in twain pictures Jesus being broken or torn for our sakes. See, Jesus was broken so you and I could have access to God. Jesus was torn so we could get ourselves to God. Let me read to you John 14, 6. Jesus says this. Jesus said unto him, I am the way. I am the way. The way to what? The way back to God. When that veil was rent in twain, it pictured Jesus being tore up for me and you. Why? So we can get into God. It's like this. Jesus is, the Bible actually teaches Jesus was that veil. Let me read another verse to you. Hebrews 10:20, it says, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. It is virtually saying to us, Jesus was that veil. And God tore Jesus in half. And when He did, God said, come on in. Come on in. You can all now get to me. You said, that's hard on Jesus. You're right, that was hard on Jesus. That's what He did for you and I. He was virtually tore in half. He died for us. He was torn to shreds for us. Why? So you and I could get in there to where God is. That's the importance of that statement in the New Testament that the veil was rent in twain. Again, let me read to you Hebrews 10:20. By a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. You see, the crucifixion of Christ pictured Jesus being rent in twain for you and I, purchasing our access back to God. His death made it so you and I could be reunited to God, and you can trace it all the way back to when man fell in the garden, man turned his back on God, there was a separation between God and man, somebody perfect had to pay the price for sin, nobody perfect had come along until Jesus had been born of a virgin, He lived 33 and a half perfect sinless years, they hung Him on the cross, and everybody was saying, they're about to tear Him up. Why? They were going to tear Him up because when they tore Him in half, it made it so man could get back to God. So when it says the veil was rent in twain, it pictures Jesus being torn up, broken for you and I. Number two, the veil was rent in twain because God wants to be with you. The veil, that curtain in the tabernacle, in the holy place that separated the holy place from the holy of holies, that separated God and man. That separated them. But God wanted to be reunited with man. The veil, that was God's idea. God's justice had to be satisfied. Only one could satisfy His justice. That was Jesus Christ. But God wanted to be with man. So God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Why? So man and God could get back together. So the veil could be removed. So the curtain could be removed. God wanted to be reunited with man. The veil was God's idea, but the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ was God's idea also. That veil being torn was God's idea because God wanted to be with you. You know, immediately, at the death of Christ, God took His invisible hand and tore that veil. And remember, He said, all right, it's taken care of. Come on back to Me. Now, in the Old Testament, they were looking forward to that happening. You and I, we look back at it happening, but it happened the same for all of us. It happened the same for all of us. God said, come on in. The price has been paid. My justice has been satisfied. There was only one that could pay the price. That was the sinless Lamb of God. God wanted to be reunited with His creation, man. So, the veil being rent in twain pictures Jesus being broken or torn up to get us back to God. Secondly, the veil was rent in twain because God wanted to be with you. God wanted to be with man. Thirdly, the veil was rent in twain so you could then go directly to God without the help of another. You can go directly to God without the help of another. Let me read to you Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 and 20. It says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. Spiritually, I don't know how to say it. In your imagination, there is a tabernacle, if you will. And one day now, if you say, Brother Owens, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to walk right through the courtyard. I'm going to walk right into the holy place. I'm going to walk right into the Holy of Holies. And I'm going in there to see God. Okay, you can now. You couldn't have back then. There was that curtain was there to say, don't you come in here. You don't qualify to come in here. But Jesus said, I'll qualify you to walk right into the presence of God. Jesus died for you. They tore Him to shreds. And Jesus, that we tore Him in half. And God said, all right, come on in. He qualified you to walk into the Holy of Holies. You can walk right into the presence of God now. No longer did they need a priest. That priest only pictured the coming Messiah anyway. God wanted you to have direct access to Himself. You're one of His children. Kids get special benefits from their dad. I was thinking about my counseling line that I have outside my office door. I have to tell y'all something. If you don't like it, there's always the option of lumping it. I have a deal with my family that if ever my family needs me, they don't have to stand in that long line that forms out here. If I notice them out there, they stand right across from my door. I open the door and let them right in. They're my family. They're my family. Guess what? You're God's family. You don't have to stand in line. Walk right into God's throne room. God said, Jesus made it so you can come right in. You're part of the family. You're not an outsider. You're part of the family. When you pray, you go right to the top. There's no need for a human middleman. God wants you to bring your needs to Him personally. Amen. So the veil being rent in twain pictured Jesus being torn for our sakes. The veil being rent in twain is because God wants to be with you. The veil being rent in twain made it so you have direct access to your heavenly Father, no middleman needed. Number four, the veil being rent in twain is so that you can help others to know they can go directly to God. Hey, what a benefit that we can share with others. You know, there are still some false religions that teach you need someone to get you to God. They're mixed up about that Old Testament tabernacle and the priest and everything. They're real bad mixed up. They're thinking we still need that priest. Oh no, we had one high priest. He died once and for all. It's a done deal. We don't need any priest like that anymore. Our high priest done his job. He's now alive and well at the right hand of the Father. You hear the story about a Catholic man that got saved. He got saved and they gave him a Bible and said, you read that Bible, and that Bible, it's gonna help you and it's gonna teach you. And he took his Bible and he went by. He seen his priest one day, and the priest said, well, what do you got there? The guy said, I got me a Bible. And the priest said, oh, no, you don't understand. He said, you don't need to study that book. I study that book, and I'll tell you what it says. The priest said, you see, that's like the milk. And the priest said, I'm the milkman. And this fellow said, well, that's not what they told me down there at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. The priest said, well, you need to understand. You need me to understand God. This new convert said, well, look, priest, I just done got me my own cow, and you're going to have to accept it. You can go directly to God. You want to understand the Word of God? Then the candlestick of the Holy Spirit of God will shine light on the showbread and you can learn it. You don't need the priest to do it for you. You see, the veil was rent in twain so you and I could tell others. What a tremendous enticement. I love telling others about a close personal relationship that they can have with God. You know something? You talk to a lost person, you know what they can do? Right there on a street corner, 10 o'clock at night, then go right to God and get saved. Right then, right there, just like that. I can get you right in to see God right now. Matter of fact, you don't even need me. Just a drop of a hat. You can't get in to see anybody else like that. If you don't believe me, try to get in to see your doctor that way. Try to get in to see your dentist. You're looking at a 4-month wait. But with God, you get right in, right now, right this second. What a selling point for Christianity. We may not be able to promote man a whole lot, but I've got good news for you. We can promote direct access to God, and that's a real good deal. Let me say one more thing. I said this, the veil was rent in twain. It pictures Jesus Christ being tore up to give us access back to God. The veil was rent in twain because God wants to be with us. Thirdly, the veil was rent in twain so you can go directly to God without the help of another. Then the veil was rent in twain so you and I can promote direct access to God for sinners and those that need Him. And then finally, number five, I think the veil was rent in twain because God has promoted us to being priests. We have priestly privileges. Now, Jesus was the high priest. We're just going to be priests. But I like being a priest. And I'm not talking about one of these. Did you know that you can go directly to God and confess your own sins? Hey, you don't need to confess your sins to me. I'm just a man. But our high priest tore the curtain between man and God wide open. And God said, you need to confess to me. You just come right on in here to me. I don't know. You just go right on in there to God. You get right down on your knees at the throne of God. And you don't have to tell me or anybody else. You can go right to God. You can pray directly to God. You've got your own altar of incense. You can learn the Bible on your own. You've got your own table of showbread. Hey, you've got your own Holy Spirit that can cast light on your life and give you wisdom and insight. You can wash yourself through repentance at the laver that's in the courtyard. Your sacrifice was Jesus Christ and the blood of the Lamb. And from that day forward, there's nothing stopping you from running to Daddy and throwing yourself at the throne of God. It's yours. Because of Jesus Christ, you can go directly to the throne of God. You see, it's a simple statement. When Jesus is crucified, he gives up the ghost and it says the veil of the temple was rent in twain. And it said from top to bottom. You know why it said from top to bottom? God said, no holds barred. Come on in. Get right to me. Top to bottom, the whole thing. And that's why the earth quaked and the rocks were tore up. They were so excited. The earth, I think the earth was energized. I think the earth said, boy, this is so good. The earth just started shaking. Rocks were torn in twain too. They were rent. Over what? God's creation now has direct access to God. God, as much as He could while we're alive on this earth, has made it so we can get back together. Oh, folks, listen to me. You have access to God. I'll tell you what, Brother Brown. When I've got my burdens and I've got my heartaches and the struggles and the hardships of life, there's one good thing I've got going for me. Well, I can get right to my heavenly daddy and I can throw myself at his feet and I say, Dad, I need help. I need help. I didn't have to get on a sign-up sheet, a waiting list. I walk right through the outer courtyard, right to the holy place, right past the veil that was rent in twain. I have access to God. Why? Because of Jesus Christ. The veil was rent in twain. Brother Hollinger, just think. You and I can go straight to God. No waiting in the counseling line. No waiting. We have access to God. And if the earth got that excited about it, I think you and I ought to quake a little bit on the inside at the thought that Jesus made it. Oh, this is not because of our righteousness. Oh, no. It is because of the righteousness of another. The perfect, sinless Lamb of God made it so you and I have that availability. You know, when we get to heaven, we're going to, you know, we sing the song, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. We're a part of God's family. Why? Because of Jesus. That's why we have access to Daddy, Abba, our Heavenly Father. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight, you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you'll have to come the same way the rest of us did, through the blood of the Lamb. Maybe you need the altar tonight. We won't take long. We will have an altar call. Oh, as you read through the New Testament, the next time you study the story of the crucifixion and you see that it says that the veil was rent in twain, I hope you'll better understand what that means and look at the great privilege that is ours. We have access to the Holy God of the universe. There's nothing that stops us from getting to Him. I'm going to ask that the instrumentalists begin to play at this time. Let's sing.